Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Sasha.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm great. It's been like 50 degrees here in Colorado. I've been hiking every day, and I'm like, please, bring more of this.
That's awesome. I know. We've been very, very fortunate. We've had 80-degree weather every day. It's been crazy.
Well, you live in California.
I live in L.A., yeah.
Right. So, even though it's winter, 80 degrees is not unusual out there.
I know. We're kind of lucky. It's always nice out. What we do need is rain. We need rain desperately.
I know. Always need more moisture, for sure. Okay. Just give me one second. I just need to finish up one thing here.
Sure.
Good morning, Brandy.
Hi.
It's Nicole and Sasha, and we'll just wait for the others to come on. Thanks for being prompt. Nicole, you're not joined at the hip with Jess this morning.
I'm not.
Oh. Hey, Francis. Good morning.
Morning, Sasha. Did you get my text?
I did not.
I'm running late. So I'm going to be on a bus for the first 2 minutes. Do you want me to just be on mute, or do you want me to call
back?
Yes,
please. Welcome, Olga. Francis, no, just be on mute, and then get off mute as soon as you can.
Okay.
But thank you. Welcome, Olga.
Hello.
Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm a minute or two late.
No worries. So we have everyone here. Frances is going to be on mute for the first few minutes because she's running late. And I would like to ask a volunteer to ground us before we begin our call today.
This is Olga. I'll ground.
That would be great. Thank you, Olga.
Okay. I guess everybody is in a sitting position. So just close the eyes and take a deep breath, observing the in-breath and the out-breath. Once again, bringing full awareness to the present moment. And imagine for a moment that nothing else exists except your breath. As you inhale, just notice the sensation, warm air, cool air entering the nostrils. Leaving the nostrils, a little tickle maybe at the back of the throat. Observe the pathway of the breath into the lungs, observing the chest or belly expand or fall. continue observing the breath. It was the only thing that was in existence. With the mind drift, just bring attention back to the breath. Bring it back to quiet sound, to the sensations, back to the rise and fall of the chest, the belly. Notice now if maybe the breath has slowed down or maybe speeded up. Just notice. Continue noticing the sensations. Scan your body from the crown of the head down to the tips of the toes. And let your next inhale be a little bit deeper. Slowly opening up the eyes and coming back to the space in the room, to the people on the call.
Thank you so much, Olga. It was beautiful. So welcome, everyone. Good morning or good afternoon, depending upon your time zone. Just a couple of logistics to get out of the way. Did anyone not receive the coach-to-coach schedule and the form that went along with it? All right, great. So we know that today Nicole is going to be coaching Olga, and Francis will be the primary observer, and we'll get into that at the top of the hour. I also sent out this morning, coming from the Coach Training Alliance, they just added in this little piece that they want students to read through what the requirements are for certification. And I sent that out today. So if you can just read through those and just reply back that you accept, just to me, you don't have to do it to the whole group, that you accept the certification requirements. Did anyone not receive that this morning? Great. And we'll just get that out of the way and just clarify. It's my job to make sure that the students know what's expected of them through the 12-week series, and Coach Training Alliance is just encouraging us to bring that to the forefront and make sure everyone's on the same page. So thanks for that. All right, I'd like to go around and really briefly, because we have a lot to get into really with every session, but with such an intimate group, I think it's kind of nice, it's kind of cool to have everyone share. So share one win, maybe one challenge, and the challenge could be part of your own work in writing out and maybe sharing your SMART goals with a buddy. So who would like to start? We'll just keep it to maybe 90 seconds each. I'd really appreciate that. Who wants to start us off?
Hi, this is Nicole.
This is Jess. Oh, go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead, Nicole.
One win, I sold out my retreat, which was my 60-day goal, so I'm really
excited.
Yay! Yeah.
Wow.
So I know. I'm really, really stoked about it. So I told Francis that I would redo my 60-day goals and make them actually just a little different so that I can actually, you know, participate in that process with her. And then challenge has been, for me, creating space for myself and just, and not having any days off at this point. And so it's part of my 90-day goals to create that. So I'm just asking for support with Francis. We had a great call, so thank you so much, Francis, to help me achieve that.
That is fantastic. That's great. Very clear, precise, and thanks for allowing that buddy relationship to happen. So for following up on that. Really, really great, Nicole. Who's next?
This is Jess. I'll go now.
Okay. Thanks, Jess.
So my win was that I read one of my chapters to my Artist Way group for my book. And got a lot of interesting and good feedback from them. And that felt a little bit vulnerable to actually vocalize the concepts. So that was great. And then my challenge has been simply time management. I wasn't able to send my SMART goals to my partners, and that is a bummer. And I commit to doing that later today. But I've had a really tough time lately managing my new puppy and my job and my teaching and my book and just everything. So, yeah.
Oh, you got a puppy. What kind?
I have a little black lab. She's 11 weeks. I got her 3 weeks ago.
Send me a picture, please. I will. Or send me a picture because I love puppies, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, I'm obsessed with her, but she's really taken priority because for the first 6 months to a year of her life, it's like she's number one.
Yeah.
So some things have fallen through the cracks.
Well, congratulations on reading the chapter to your group and putting yourself in a vulnerable situation. I get the time management piece, and I like that you said that you're committed to getting that to your buddies later today. So great job. Great job with that. Okay, who's next?
I'd like to go next with Brandy.
Okay, thanks.
So my win was after our last call, I asked for support for my son, and I actually received support. So one day a week, I will not have to pick him up, so that's a huge thing. That was a big win. And then a challenge for me was writing out my SMART goals and then having this feeling, even as I was writing them out, that they were too challenging, that I was putting on too much of a challenge. So it's just like reviewing and maybe understanding if it's actually something that is achievable, you know, in the time frame of the 90 days. So, yeah.
Awesome. So excited that you stepped into asking for support for your son. That's huge. And just so you know, and everyone knows, the SMART goals, this is a work in progress. So just taking a look at it and refining it, distilling it, having that experience not only for yourselves, but then also to be able to speak to having your clients work with that. So thanks, Brandy. Olga, I'm going to have you go next because I'm not sure that Frances is in a place that she can speak, but we'll check in after you go.
Okay, very good. So I guess it's a win and a challenge at the same time. I shared one of my business goals with Brandy yesterday, and it was great to have somebody else listen to them because she even asked further questions so I could break them down into more detail. So that my action steps were more detailed. So, you know, I thought that, okay, I have it here, but, you know, by her questioning them, it made me look deeper into the goals. Therefore, you know, the other goals that I have, I'll be doing the same. So that was a great call, and it's nice to be able to share, you know, the goals with someone. And then following up with each other, obviously, in the coming weeks.
Right. Thank you. That's great. I'm so glad that this buddy system is in place. It just teaches us about accountability. Not that you guys don't know what accountability is, but it's honing in on that skill and that tool to use to further the action that's important to you, where you want to go. And again, it's really designed as a roadmap to get your client engaged in that process as well. So thanks to everyone for participating in the Buddy Check-In, and please continue to do that each week. Frances, are you in a place that you can talk?
I am.
All right, great. Welcome, Frances.
Hi. My win would be that I completed my SMART goals. Not completed as in finished them, but I wrote them out, which was big for me because I'm really bad at goals. So it was kind of a challenge setting them, but felt good to get them written out. And it was really great to share them with Nicole and just feel supported in all those areas. And it was great just getting to know her and chatting with her and everything. And then my challenge this week has just been I've been on way people overload, like super feeling people overload. So teaching has been a challenge, like being out in public has been a challenge. So it's just something I'm dealing with, and it'll pass, but it's just how it is right now.
That's awesome. That's great. I'm just so happy to hear that everybody is really diving into their SMART goals. I know about people overload, so just be sure you're dropping into the self-care piece when you can. Frances, will you share with the group what you shared with me last week when I saw you?
Are you talking about the friend thing? Mm-hmm. Oh,
no, the
what I completed. Yeah, we finished it. We got our holds and put them in, so we've been using it. And I haven't had a chance to take a picture yet, but I will and send it out.
Right.
So that's been exciting.
Good. So what Frances was referring to was a climbing wall that she and her boyfriend, Nathan, completed in their home. And so that was a homework piece from our first demo coaching session. And Brandy also completed her action by stepping into support from the second demo coaching session. So you can see that in just 15 minutes of working with your client, you can create tremendous change. And I'm so proud of both of you for stepping into that action. And I hope it feels really good to both of you. And the rest of you will feel it the same once you're being coached and being held accountable. Awesome. Okay. Any questions before we dive into the material for today? Any questions about the reading? Any questions about the process? I'd just like to get everything sort of cleared out before we dive in.
You know, I have a question. It's Brandy.
Thank you.
Regarding the SMART goals, could we review that for a minute? I have a question about it.
Sure. It's on page 101 and
yeah.
102. So why don't you ask what your specific question is?
Okay. So from what I understood is that we were doing a 30-day, 60-day, 90-day goals. So, you know, what we want to maybe do in those 30 days and then three action steps.
With correct.
Three initiatives that we were going to take. And then, like, it was just interesting because, like I said, I had a challenge because I have a big project that I sort of want to put together, but I don't think it could be completed in the 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
So is it still okay, like, okay, in 90 days, okay, it's not at the completion, but it's moving towards that?
Absolutely. Your 90-day goal may not be completion. It may be to be in a certain place with that project. And then maybe to complete it, maybe you do another 30-day goal to complete that project. Again, it's all about this process and putting yourselves, immersing yourselves in the process of SMART goals, which you're all realizing is super challenging, right, to actually put on paper what is important to you and have it be, you know, measurable, achievable, timely, and because it holds you accountable. It holds you accountable and it keeps you moving forward. So, yes, absolutely to that question, yes. Any other questions on that?
This is Jess. I didn't have any questions on the SMART goals, but I had another question if now would be an appropriate time.
Great.
On
go for it.
Not to get too granular, but on page 99 in the manual, it talks about shifting the perspective. And one of the questions it asks is, have you seen this before and how did you handle it before that worked the best? And it just seems strange because so much of the material is talked about forward thinking and creating possibilities and not talking about the past. So maybe we'll get into this later, but are there situations, what sort of situations is it appropriate to talk about how the client has handled things in the past?
Great question, and that's where we're going today. So if we can parking lot that for the moment,
yep.
We will definitely get into that. And since we have five, so let's everyone turn to page 97. We have five tools for the simple coaching model. And how amazing that we have five students on the call. So, Jess, because you brought that up, I'm going to have you do number three when we get there. And then
okay.
I would like for each of you to, no coincidence there, to not necessarily pick, but we're going to go with the first one. I would like for someone to name the first coaching model tool. And read a little bit about it. I'll show you what to read. And then I'm going to ask you to give an example of that in the yoga room. So who wants to dive in first?
This is Nicole. I guess I'll dive in first since I have to go
okay.
And coaching call later.
And, there you go. So just start off where it says, you know, on page 97, number one, specify the client's agenda and keep reading until I tell you to stop.
Okay. The specific issues right there, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. The specific issues the client wants to focus on in this session, the details or story of the issue,
she didn't want to talk. She'll come back.
The third bullet, what specifically the client wants to accomplish in the session. What would you like us to focus on in the session, or what would you like us to accomplish in our time today? The client determines the agenda for each session. A, listen deeply and consistently to the client. B, respond appropriately to what the client says and to his or her energy. And C, serve the client's agenda through each question and statement. The mentor coach listens closely to the client's exact words, the feel of the words in voice and energy, what the client...
Welcome back.
And,
sorry.
And potential underlying agendas. The verbal exchange is only a part of the interaction. Knowingly or unknowingly, the client always communicates emotional experience. The emotional message may or may not be the same as the verbal message.
That's good.
That's great.
That's good. Thanks, Nicole. So can you give us your perspective on how you understand this specific tool?
I see that do you want me to talk about in the yoga room as well?
Let's just see how you can use it either way you want, whatever helps for you to explain it to us.
Okay. To me, I see it as the focus is on the client. It's not my own agenda in helping them. It's really what they desire and what they need. So I need to be, as a coach, a listener. I have to gauge their energy. I have to gauge their emotions. The way I relate it to the yoga room is exactly that, which is I go into a room. I might have an idea in mind, but usually you don't know who's going to be the student, and you don't know what their energy level is at. And so you can have an idea or a plan, but then you usually just have to alter it based on what you're receiving back and what's happening with them. And I think, you know, still as a yoga teacher, you're a guide, but it's definitely a two-way street. Like, I can't just follow my own plan of action all the time.
Absolutely. That's a brilliant example. And how does that typically work for you when you go in with a set, maybe a set sequence or a set theme, and if you have to alter or just sort of be in flow with the mix of students that are showing up to that particular class?
I would say it's getting easier for me, but there was a point that switched fairly recently, I think. I definitely used to kind of freak out a little bit about that. Like, oh, no, I'm doing a twisting, mm-hmm. twisting class. Now there's, like, three pregnant women. So I've adjusted to it. What I've done is really just dropped into a state of listening, and sometimes I'll even remind myself to just put my hand on my heart to relax myself. Mm. Because I've been quite a perfectionist in my life, so I always went in with plans and always had my own agenda. So it's been a big shift for me, and I welcome it now, and I'm still learning. Let's just put it that way. I have growth in that area. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for sharing that honesty. I think we're all growing as teachers all the time, and I relate to the perfectionist piece, and I still get rattled when I go in with my sequence. I'm like, I'm going to do this sequence, right? And this is going to serve mm-hmm. everyone. So we're all learning. We're all growing. So really, really important just to highlight that this actually separates coaching from any other professional relationship that you would have, namely therapists. Okay, it's all about what the client wants, and they may come to the table or to the coaching call and have no idea what they want. And you'll learn about some tools to get them to clarify their agenda, brainstorming, maybe making some suggestions, just having the verbal interaction that might, bring them to specificity. So really, really want you guys to understand that it's not about what our agenda is, though we can make suggestions and use our intuition, but it's really about what the client brings, and it's really, really important in the beginning of the session to determine what the client's agenda is so we know in which direction we're going. Any questions about that particular tool?
I have a question.
Okay.
And I think it happened, this is Nicole, I think it happened last week too, where I think we started off, if I recall, in one direction, and we were starting to get specific, and it kind of switched a little bit. And do you ever have instances where it's just really hard to get someone to focus on one thing where you feel like you almost have to pick one of their agenda items if they come with a list of things?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The answer to the question is yes, but it's our job as coaches, and as you hone your skills and get more comfortable and confident with wearing your hat as a mentor coach, to kind of helping them to distill. At the end of the day, it's all intertwined, and just like last week, with Brandy, if I can use that as an example, started off in one direction and then finished in a completely different one. It's all like peeling away the layers and getting down to really what is their truth and what do they want to, where are they stuck and what's holding them back and how can you best support them in moving them forward. So the short answer is yes. You might come to the call and have zero things or have 10 things. And then in that case, what I do is I say, what's speaking to you the most right now?
Hmm.
So you'll find the right powerful questions to ask to have them come up with what is the most important.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking. Anyone else, any questions on specifying the client's agenda? Great. Who wants to tackle number two on page 98?
I will. It's Brandy.
Great. Thanks, Brandy.
Okay. Determine useful intervention moments. The intervention moment is the engagement to explore a specific aspect at the center of the client's topic. It is often the aha of the mentor coach about some aspect needing illumination or mutual exploration. A, use intuition about what the client has conveyed to discern the most useful intervention moment. B, facilitate the client's shift by asking open-ended direct questions. Let's look at how you see this as a problem. Help me understand how you're thinking about that to come to that conclusion. C, thoroughly explore the most useful timing for a powerful shift for the client. D, listen for the impact of your questions and statements. Land and make adjustments as needed. Coaching interventions are the essence of the session. Several potential approaches can be taken with a client to discover how the client might shift in order to take action. Indications for these interventions may come in subtle clues such as the following: obvious stuckness, missing pieces in the story, inconsistent statements, strong or weak energy, nervous laughter, sudden strong or contradictory
emotions,
assumptions or limited perspectives, throwaway comments.
That's great. Thank you. Wow, that's a lot there, right? So just share with us how you interpret this tool, and then if you have an experience in the yoga studio that relates to this.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so I think this is when we're in session and we are wanting to find out ways of helping them refine or understand their view of the situation that we're looking at together. And it seems to me that, it's sort of like what I'm thinking of, like the peeling away of the layers, you know, by asking and provoking certain questions to help refine it. So if helping them relax with maybe your questions into finding their story and, you know, especially this inconsistent statement and missing pieces, like people don't will always, sometimes we have to go further in the exploration of really coming to the full circle and the full picture of what they want to explore. So we have to provoke and ask questions to really see it clearly and help them see it clearly. So, you know, we really know the source of what they want to be working on. Or they want to maybe reveal the source of what they want to be working on. I don't know if I got that right.
Absolutely. No, definitely. There's that's a general sense of things. The biggest piece of this section is really the aha moment. And we'll talk about, you know, is it okay to interrupt? Is it okay to make suggestions? In this case, absolutely. And when you start out working with a specific client, you'll have agreements up front. You know, you'll talk about, you know, how the, me being the coach, how are you okay with me interrupting when I want to explore something a little deeper, maybe taking a pause. And so it's not coming out of the blue. The client has an expectation that that could happen, that the coach could interrupt in appropriate timing and way and make suggestions or explore that a little further. So I think as yoga teachers, as yoga practitioners, we've all had aha moments. So Brandy, could you speak to an aha moment that you've had either as a teacher or as a yoga student?
So I guess an aha moment from as a teacher is really always just almost at the beginning of the class when I get people to lie down. And when they start to come into their body, And then there's that release of everything that they've been holding on to through the day or in the morning, whenever the class is. And they just get that grounding, just like, and that aha moment, realizing how much tension we are holding. And we're not even aware of it until we actually see that we're letting go of it, you know. So for me as a teacher, just watching their body drop 2 inches to the floor always amazes me.
And how does that serve you in your teaching?
That it's so important to start a class off by grounding people and letting them have a couple moments of just that experience of arriving in their bodies. And that's really essential because we are so often disconnected.
Absolutely, and I'm a strong proponent of that, as you know, because we ground before we start all of our sessions. So how could you use that skill that you already have, that you already share with your students, to serve your client in a coaching role?
Well, I guess I would probably bring that into coaching. You know, the first few minutes is just about maybe grounding, you know, just like Olga did for us. And, you know, just about grounding, and then start to begin the session from a place that's groundedness. And then if there, and then another thing, like with the pause and intervention, if, you know, I think of child's pose, you know, in the middle of class, just like also just letting everything settle. Then so using that possibility also within a session that, okay, sometimes we need to just pause and just hold that space. So I'm not sure, but definitely a sense of pause and holding the space.
I love that. That's a brilliant example. Just dropping into child's pose in the middle of the class if you're exhausted or if you just need time to ground, or maybe you're cueing it and they're going in there. But some people do go on their own if they feel they need it. And that's a beautiful example of using an intervention moment with your client in your coaching. It can also be, you can also get to that place just through conversation too. Like the, as you're speaking to your client, as you're engaging in the conversation, as a coach, you may have an intuitive sense. You may have an aha moment, which is very different. And I want to be sure that I'm clear. Very different from hijacking the agenda. What it is an invitation for the client to explore a little deeper a place that you feel may have value to them. Does that make sense to everyone?
Well, not to
so
me.
It's not to you. Who's not to me?
Brandy.
So ask me what's not making sense to you.
So I, as the coach, have the aha moment for them? Like I have the aha moment with the person I'm coaching? Like do they, my experience or their experience or both of our experiences?
It starts off with you wanting to explore a place that you've come to together in your conversation. That would warrant an intervention because you feel that this could be a place, and it's going to go right into number three, that they may have an aha moment in thinking of something in a different way. So you're actually helping to facilitate the aha moment. It's kind of on both ends. You're using your sense of intuition. You're having an aha moment, and then you want to explore that. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have an aha moment, but you're trying to distill and gain more clarity around what they're saying, because this, number two, leads directly into number three, which we'll get to in a minute. Is that helpful? Sorry?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you just sort of faded out, and I wanted to make sure that I was answering your question efficiently. Okay, anyone else on the call, any questions with determining useful intervention moments? Great. Then all of this that were these five tools of the simple coaching model is really the crux of this entire program. So that's why we're taking time reading it, discussing it, and providing examples. All right. Jess, would you take on number three, please?
Yes. Number three, shift the perspective. The shift of perspective is a point of insight or awareness by the client. How can we look at this in another way? Have you seen this before? How did you handle it before that worked the best? This model works as a process for achieving goals because it catalyzes change. Once an agenda is clear and one or more coaching interventions have been explored, the coach invites the client to shift or move beyond the stuck place and towards possibility thinking. The shift must occur in the client, not dictated by the coach. It is counterproductive to lock onto a solution and push for it before the client is ready. Hijacking the client's agenda will usually fail because there is no impetus from the client. Clients need to see and experience from their own perspective before they can proceed on their own path. The mentor coach invites the client. Oh, pardon me?
No, keep going. I'm sorry.
Okay. The mentor coach invites the client to look at a problem in a new way or encourages possibility thinking. The shift invitation may come in the form of a challenge, a nudge, a suggestion, a new perspective, or simply questioning how the client's thinking led to his or her conclusion.
Great. So before we get into your earlier question on those two questions at the top, just give us a sense of your grasp of this particular tool.
Well, I think it flows from what Nicole and Brandy talked about, but it's not projecting onto the client what we think that they should be doing and holding the space for them to shift their perspective. So it's acknowledging that aha moment or facilitating that aha moment, but then letting the motivation to take that on and make the shift come from the client.
Absolutely. And when it does, when it comes from the client, the impetus is from there, what is what's typically the result of that versus it coming from the coach or the teacher?
Empowerment, ownership, motivation, possibility.
Wow. How does that feel?
It feels good.
Yeah, right. It does, and you're exactly right on target. So share with us, if you would, sort of an example of shifting the perspective in the studio through yoga.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of different parallels here. I mean, one that comes to mind is just inversions, because inversions are all about shifting perspective. And I've seen it both ways. I've seen someone really not feel like they want to do an inversion, and they're kind of looking around the room nervously and going up to them and saying, you know, what does your body want right now? And they might say, I don't think I can do that. And then saying, well, do you want to try? Let me get a strap and help you, you know, squeeze your arms in and let's experiment. Or they might say, I'm just so tired, or I can just read from their body language that they don't want to. And so then I tell them, you know, put their legs at the wall or what their body is looking for. But kind of going towards the client and acknowledging that they're not stuck, but they, that they don't really know what they want yet, and then just helping them figure that out.
And what's been your experience when, say, for example, using inversions, what have you seen as a result of a student stepping into that and being able to shift their perspective? What happens in their practice?
It's been amazing. I mean, I remember this woman that I helped up into handstands, and she afterwards was, like, giggling, and, like, I wanted her to take child's pose to counteract the inversion, and she didn't want to. She kept looking up at me and being like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Like, did you see me do that? And she was so excited. And even this gentleman next to her, he said to her, he goes, wow, that was amazing. And so I think she just felt really I just could feel this bubbling energy inside of her.
Yeah. So for all of you, can you see where this roadmap is going and the parallels between yoga and coaching and how we're working with our clients, whether we're on the mat or off?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the reason I bring that up is you, as yoga teachers, already have a lot of the skills and the tools to work with your clients. We're just taking it to a different level in terms of, you know, powerful questions, listening, all the skills that we're learning here to make it the most impactful it can be. So pretty much with, you know, inviting this shift, it really is the coach's aha. And we can further the client's agenda by inviting in a different perspective. So, for example, you can say, let's play back what you said to synthesize it on a different level. And when you do that, you know, it allows them to see progress and internalize the model of how we work together, how the coach and client work together. So great example, Jess. Any questions from the group on this particular tool?
I actually have another question, Sasha. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, and we didn't talk about your question, so sorry about that. So let's do that.
It's okay. So I'm wondering if there's also a place, I mean, I think there is because it's up to the client, their agenda. In that example I gave, I actually frequently have people who feel uncomfortable with the amount of pressure that's placed, at least in LA yoga, on, you know, all the fancy poses and the attachments to the poses and what they look like. And I've also experienced that when people have permission to take a gentler option, they just kind of relax into the state of allowance and they feel better about themselves. And it's this fine line of knowing, I guess it's up to them to decide, like when they want to strive for the more difficult posture and when they want to listen to what their body needs in the moment. But like how do you, I guess that's what we'll discover is, you know, how do you figure out which way they're leaning and how do you guide them without forcing them? I think some people are so used to getting their cues from someone else instead of what they really want.
Right. That's a great question. And to be more specific in how I'm understanding it, are you talking about in terms of working with a yoga student or a client in the coaching role?
I'm talking more about a client in a coaching role because one thing that brings up some uncertainty for me is the fact that most coaching will, for me, will probably be done on the phone. And so in person, I can read someone's body cues and I can look at, you know, if they have an angle with their elbows, if they can't straighten or if they don't have open shoulders. I can give them more specific advice. And I know in coaching, we're not even giving them advice. So how do you, at this shift in perspective, how do you see if they want to go up against the challenge or if they want to just acknowledge the challenge and then say, I'm not ready for that? Or, you know, how do you know when it's resistance and how do you know when it's they're taking care of themselves?
I would throw it back at you, but in terms of time, I would just simply ask.
Mm-hmm.
Ask. What feels better to you? Which direction do you want to head in? Where's your energy around this? What's most important to you? There are a myriad of questions, powerful questions that you can ask. So you're exploring. With those powerful questions, they really elicit a conversation in a way that is different from closed-ended questions, right? It facilitates the discussion and it gets the client thinking about, okay, so they're in their mind thinking about what's important to them, but as yoga teachers, and I think we spoke a little bit about this last time, what is that somatic experience? Where are they feeling it in their body? On the phone, right, you don't have the benefit of body language, but that's where we become tapped into reading energy levels, and we're using, and it was part of our reading today, the tone of our voice, right? The energy, listening to the way things are being said. So using all those subtleties in a way to help get a sense of where the client is. So yes, on the phone, it's asking a lot more of us, but we really tap into those qualities in a bigger way because of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was really helpful, especially the questions that you gave examples of.
You're welcome. And really briefly, you wanted your question in the beginning was talking about past versus talking about present and future.
Mm-hmm.
So the past kind of dictates where they are. It's not like you're going into all the trauma and emotional trauma that someone has been in their entire life. If you're simply referring to an example of this particular experience and how it did or did not serve them, you're using it as a springboard to invite a different perspective. So maybe they had that experience and they handled it one way. So take that same experience and ask them to shift their perspective and see what changes they see there.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So there's no rule for everyone. There's no rule that says you absolutely cannot talk about anything that happened before this date, right? It's not that rigid. But it's using the past as examples to move forward, not spending the entire conversation in healing or in past issues. Very, very different. Very big question, and I hope I've made somewhat of a distinction, and we'll learn more as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. No, that was really helpful. It's just a skill, obviously, that takes time, I'm sure, to develop to look at the past for elimination, but then carefully guide the client towards how that impacts the future and not letting them kind of wallow or overanalyze the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, thanks, Jess. Who's number four? Francis or Olga?
This is Francis. I can read it.
Ah, fight for it. Fight for it. You guys both want to frame the session. Rock, paper, scissors. Okay. You guys decide.
You can go, Olga.
All right, Francis, thanks. All right, framing the session. After the client shift is acknowledged, the mentor coach may explore commitment or encourage the client to put new awareness into action that would further the goal. The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next step that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session. A formal stated action plan by the client allows both coach and client to know exactly what the client's commitment is and how success will be measured. Both parties are clearly and specifically focused on the success map for that week. Acknowledge a shift the client has just made. Check the client's commitment to moving forward. Request action from the client. What action steps are you taking?
And then just drop it down to number D. You don't have to read it.
Okay.
Just read C.
Sure. Have the client specify a time frame for the intention.
Great. So, again, another super important tool in the model. Share with us, Olga, how you understand that section.
Well, it's almost like a summary of what's going on in the session. And I guess, you know, from shifting the perspective, you know, and I think that when there's this possibility, maybe with a what if question when somebody is stuck is what's coming to mind. So, you know, kind of getting an idea of where the client wants to go now and, you know, what the client is willing, you know, to do for that week in order to move forward with their goals either writing them down, talking about the action steps that they're willing to take for the week. That's what's coming to mind. I think all the steps are important. However, I think this is what's, you know, that this is what we're going to be discussing the following week as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's just exactly right on. And I'm hopeful that you could share a parallel to yoga. I don't know if you work with any clients one-on-one doing privates.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did work with a client that he was paralyzed on half of his body. Mm-hmm. He had been in an accident, and the owner of the studio gave him to me as a client. And so I would, because he was only coming to me once a week, I did give him things that he needed to work on in order to progress, you know, in his movement from week to week. So I would break it down for him, and but I would ask him, you know, like what are the things that are, you know, creating more progress for you, and where do you see, you know, that, you know, a shift, you know, in your body? Where do you feel more comfortable? And I remember giving him, even though this wasn't part of the studio, a therapy ball, you know, one of those bouncing exercise balls.
Mm-hmm.
And and that was completely new, but it just, I wanted him to feel what it was like to sit on the ball, and while I was holding his hands, to kind of push himself, you know, on the ball, and that was like a great sensation for him, and he felt something different. And so I actually, so I told him how, you know, his parents could help him at home, you know, with the ball. So, yeah, I mean, but he was committed to that because it felt good, and he saw a difference in class. So he also felt that, you know, if he continued practicing that at home, he would create more change in his body. Yeah,
wow.
So that's what comes to mind. Yeah.
That's a beautiful example, and I so admire you for working with someone that's disabled in that way. I think you makes a huge difference just in the side there. So thanks for sharing that. So basically this number four, you know, framing the session, takes the client's worries and concerns and fears and moves that into intention and commitment. So basically reflecting with your client what they got out of the session, and then what is their action commitment for next session? What are they committed to doing, or what have they gotten out of the session? All right, I think I jumped ahead a little bit there. So it just establishes a goal and it enhances their motivation. Because of our time, I'm just going to step right in to hold your questions. Francis, would you guide us through number five, please?
Yeah, follow up. A key role for a mentor coach is that of accountability partner. In the subsequent session, as a coach, you are an accountability partner. This means that you have jotted down the client's commitments from the previous session, and if the client does not mention what he or she has done regarding those commitments, it is your obligation to check in. The follow-up for the client's commitments of things to accomplish between sessions builds in accountability and continuity with the overall mission.
So I feel that's pretty straightforward. Francis, is there anything that you want to share about how you understand that or how it's worked for you?
I think it just, I mean, it definitely shows the commitment of the mentor. And then as a yoga instructor, it's like with your regulars who come week to week or multiple times a week, you always, for the most part, I think people just always check in with them, you know. And, you know, I always find myself checking in. If I know that someone has an injury, the next time I see them, I just check in with them to see how that's going and things like that. So it shows that you as a yoga instructor or a mentor coach are paying attention and that you're committing to their progress and process.
And what's the result? How do your students and clients feel when you show up in that way?
I think it builds the connection, so they feel more connected to you and they feel the investment that you're making in them.
Absolutely. absolutely. And by no means is number five any less important than the previous four. In fact, I feel like it is one of the most important, because if you are committed to the collaborative relationship with your client and taking their agenda, keeping them in action to move forward towards the things that are important to them, this piece is absolutely critical. Because if they're not doing the work and they're not following up, they can't really move into the places that they say they want to go to, right? And so we'll learn as we go along that maybe a relationship, a coaching relationship, has reached the point where it needs to dissolve, because per the agreements that the two of you have reached before you even start your relationship together, your professional relationship together, people not showing up or not doing the homework. I mean, they're doing their very best at sharing with you how they show up in all places in their life. All right, through their homework, through their payment, through their energy. Okay, so it's really, really important that we stay committed to this number five, just like we do with one through four. Okay, very, very quickly, any brief questions on four or five?
I have a question. It's Brandy.
Okay.
Just regarding number five, I just found it was interesting when you mentioned now that you might even have to dissolve the coaching relationship if they, you know, are not committing to their homework. Because working privately with people, which I've done, and a lot of times I will give them, like, yoga homework to do, and they come back a week later, and it's really almost, it's just not them. It's just not them. It's like they want me to come there and be there and present for them for the session, but the homework is not carried through. But when they're in the session, they're fully committed, but then during the week, they forget. They don't, you know, apply. So, I mean, I guess I would find it interesting to know when. Is it just like an intuition that you would say, okay, you know what, this is not serving us, this relationship, you know?
I would check in to what the commitment was before you first started, what their goals are, what, you know, how you guys are engaging, and just revisit it, because it'll shift. Just like a sensation in any asana is going to shift the longer you hold the pose. Right? You may have a release. You may have more tightness. The client-coach relationship can go up and down as well. And if there's a time where somebody is consistently showing up with the same issues, I think it's just a time to revisit. Use your intuition, absolutely. Just make sure it's still working for both parties.
Okay.
Great. Okay, we're going to have to... Not we're going to have to. I am totally reframing that. Now we get to dive into the first coaching call. So before we start, this is going to be our little structure before we do the coaching. Would somebody, and you can totally read, just let us know the five tools of the simple coaching model before we start. Just read them 1 through 5.
Specify the client's agenda, determine useful intervention moments, shift the perspective, frame the session, and follow up.
Great. So those are the things that we're going to be listening for. Do I expect the first time that you coach to be able to use these like you've been using them your whole life? Absolutely not. But that's what this interactive exercise is all about, is giving feedback, listening, using our skills of listening for these five things, and we'll give feedback when the time is right. So Nicole and Olga, do not mute, but everyone else will hit *6 or mute the microphone on your computer. And ladies, just give us a second, watch your time, 15 minutes, and then we'll come back on the call, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Olga. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Great. Before we started today, I just wanted to take a little moment and ground our energy together, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes, I'm feeling a little bit anxious.
Me too. So I'd love for you to uncross your legs if you can and just have both feet on the floor. And then just close your eyes comfortably for a moment and begin to just feel your breath. Just watch the breath rise and fall. And just take a few deep breaths just so you can feel more connected to your heart and dropping out of the mind a little bit. Great. And then if you will, just blink your eyes open. So I just wanted to find out today, what would you like to focus on in our session? Is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Yes, I have a situation where I want to be supportive for with my daughter. It's her 22nd birthday, and she wants to invite to the dinner one of my my cousin, his wife, who's expecting, and I'm separated from my husband for about a year and a half now, but my husband wants nothing to do with my cousin. However, when we are going to have our birthday dinner, we all get together, you know, my three children and my mom and my husband to celebrate, you know, each other's birthdays. So my daughter was very sad today. She said, you know, I really would love to have them come, and you know, I just don't know how to, you know, tell Papa, and I'm, you know, and so I said to her, you know, I'm willing to support you any which way that you can, and without me having to talk to my husband, because I don't like the way he's going to respond to me, or he becomes evasive, or he just. He hasn't cleared with the whole family as to why he's upset with them. So what I just want to be is supportive to my daughter without, and if she does want to ask my husband, you know, I want them to come and support her in that way. But at the same time, if she chooses not to invite them, also be supportive around that. So that's pretty much what's going on with me. At this time.
Thank you, Olga. I appreciate you sharing that. So if I can just clarify what you were saying, so I understand that I'm understanding the agenda at hand for you. Your daughter, you want to be supportive for your daughter. And it sounds like she would like to have her cousin present at this event. And this person, the cousin, does the cousin have a name?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Fernando and Natalia.
Fernando is the cousin, and Natalia is her daughter. Okay, thank you.
His wife. So, his wife, yeah.
Oh, Fernando, I'm sorry?
Who's Fernando's a cousin, and Natalia is his wife.
Oh,
expecting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you. What's your daughter's name?
Natalie? Nazli, N-A-Z-L-E-Y.
Nazli, thank you. Okay, thank you. So Nazli wants to invite Fernando. And Fernando and your previous husband are not speaking. They don't have a good relationship. And you and your husband are also generally having a little bit of a challenge as well with communication. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you'd prefer if your daughter handled the situation between your husband, your ex-husband, and Fernando versus you getting involved. You'd like to be a support for her instead?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to get that clear. So what might be some steps you think that you could participate in to help support your daughter, given that you are not going to get actively involved between Fernando and your ex-husband?
I guess what comes to mind is just telling her that, and I think I did tell her actually earlier this morning that, you know, whatever she decides, you know, I'll support her. However, it's also coming up maybe, like, you know, with, you know, asking, you know, if her father says no, maybe asking the father why, you know, Papa, you know, I need clarity, you know, I want to understand, you know, what's going on with you. We've never understood why you were upset with him. You know, it'd be nice if we can have the family together instead of separating, you know, even though you and Mommy are apart. You know, it's important for us to have family connection because this is exactly what she's seeking, and I understand that. So it's helping her kind of connect also with her father in some way, being, you know, and so that's what I want to, like, maybe coach her as my daughter. In a certain way, you know, with the skills that we're learning or what we already know, and yeah, that's how I would like to support her.
And with supporting her and coaching her, which sounds really fabulous, and how will you recognize when that might be happening for you? How would you recognize that you're actually being a coach in this situation for her?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that maybe instead of trying too hard to coach, asking her, you know, would you want some coaching around this? And so that she understands that's what it's about, so that there is this agenda that I have and whether or not she wants to use it or not. And then it's up to her whether she wants to use some of those questions, you know, with her father. And yeah, that would probably be a good thing to bring up to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
and coming out of the mommy protective mode, I'm sorry. And it's like coming out of the mommy protective mode, you know, and, but really sitting down and saying, okay, I can help you around this if you'd like. And, you know, after having this conversation about coaching, then you can decide whether or not you want to approach your father or not.
Great. So if I'm hearing mm-hmm. you correctly, let's just play back what you just said. Instead mm-hmm. of coaching her with your own agenda, you'd prefer to ask her if she'd like coaching. And
yeah.
in that model, then you might be clearer on what she needs help with.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
exactly.
sound correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. That sounds amazing. And I think that's a great shift in perspective for you from mommy to coach.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd love to find out from you. We're running a little bit short at the end of the session here. So it sounds like we came to a pretty great place. What actions might you take away from this call this week? What actions can we take from this session to establish you as a coach with your daughter to help support her in this asking of the father
mm-hmm.
and the situation with Fernando?
Right. Just approaching her and asking her, you know, if this is something that I'd like to come out of mommy mode and, you know, ask her if she would want to be coached around it and, you know, for us to try that and I can, you know, ask her questions that would pertain as if, you know, as if I were coaching her and what questions come up and see, you know, where, you know, what her feelings are, you know, what needs she may have around it and for her to discover what it is, you know, that's the underlying issue. And then maybe she'll be able to discuss, you know, more about her feelings and needs, you know, with her father.
Hmm. And how does that make you feel? Does that feel like something you're willing to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're going to have lunch together after we finish our call today. And so I'll bring it up then. And,
great.
I would start today because the dinner is Friday.
Oh, so it's coming up really quickly.
Yes.
Okay, so then it sounds like you're committed then today to have lunch with your daughter and to ask her and approach her what her feelings are around the situation, how you can best support her, and
mm-hmm.
And explain that you're coming out of mommy mode.
Right, yeah.
Great. Well, that sounds fantastic, Olga. I'd love to be your partner in this, and if you need any help, let me know. And I'm sure we'll talk next week. I hope we'll talk next week, and we can check in on how the dinner went on Friday.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olga.
Okay, everyone can unmute. Star 6. Wow, what a way to start us off, ladies. That was publishable. Yeah. So, Frances, would you facilitate the feedback discussion, please?
Sure. Do you want me to just start by giving feedback, or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or what you heard, in terms of were the simple coaching model tools used, what you heard, what was great, just feedback like you would give feedback in your, for a teacher.
Cool. Well, right off the bat, the first thing I noticed was Nicole's voice. It's just so welcoming and comforting. So I think that was already, as a client going in, I think that just sets the tone of it all. And she grounded both of them, which was nice. That you could tell the energy had shifted when she did that. And both of them were calmer and just on the same plane. And Nicole did a great job just going through all the 5 steps, really. She clarified the agenda and made sure she understood what Olga wanted to receive for the session. And it seemed like when they started talking about turning or coming out of mommy mode into coach mode, that was kind of the intervention and the shift of perspective. So it seemed like Olga came to a new perspective and how to see the situation and was able to take steps from there of what to do next. And, I felt like they both just did a really good job going through all the steps and were really thorough with it all.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thanks, Frances. It's great insight and great listening skills. Jess or Brandy, you'll both get a chance, but who wants to start in giving your feedback?
This is Jess. I can go. I really loved the session, Nicole and Olga. It was fabulous. And I really enjoyed 2 of the questions, specifically, Nicole, that you asked. There was a point when you said, how will you know when you are meeting your objective of supporting her? And I felt like that kind of facilitated the aha moment. It transitioned from the intervention point to the shifting of perspective, or maybe that was the intervention point. So that really made me excited to hear. And then the second one was when, Nicole, you asked, how does that feel? It was towards kind of the framing the session part of the discussion. You said, how does that feel? Does that feel like something you're willing to do? So when you asked for her willingness and she said yes, she didn't just say yes. She said, yes, and I'm going to see her today. So you didn't even have to say, okay, when are you going to do this by? You just clarified that she's committed to it, and then she kind of propelled herself there. So I found that to be really powerful.
Hmm. That's great. Thank you so much, Jess. Brandy, what are your thoughts?
So same thing with as Jeff, the same line as well. I felt really was like this turning point when it got really clear to Olga, you know, that she, at the beginning there was like a lot of introduction to the situation, and then it got really specific to like, I want to, you know, support my daughter, you know, at the best that I could. And it was like that moment was just like digest it. And I felt through the session also the tone of Olga's voice changed to feeling, you know, a little bit insecure with the situation and uncomfortable with the situation, to leaving the session, you know, feeling a lot more clear with this action step to take and knowing actually, you know, what was actually the essence here of the importance of the situation. And it was exactly in that sentence, and like, you know, I want to support my daughter, you know, the best of my ability. And she just, the voice, the tone, everything changed, I felt, when Olga ended the session.
Mm-hmm. I love that, just a way to tap into your energetic intuition. And, you know, as a yoga teacher, you know, we've just got a little bit more experience and wisdom with that. So thank you so much for sharing. I want to start off with Olga. How did that feel to you in terms of your first live coaching session?
Oh, I think it was great. I mean, the grounding was good because I was feeling anxious. So that was really very nice to receive. The other, you know, the clarification after, because there, yes, I had to make like an introduction of what was going on, and maybe it was long, but however, she was really listening and she needed to clarify, and she was hands-on with, you know, what she heard. And yeah, the shift with the question, you know, is like, you know, how will you know when you, you know, meet your objective? And so it wasn't like, my objective is not to, you know, fix my daughter, but how can I help her resolve, you know, again, going back to, you know, how in coaching we know that all of us are whole and resourceful. And so I want to be the same for her as well and not tell her what to do, but what is coming out of her and being able to do it with coaching questions. But if I do it as a mommy, in mommy mode, and in quotes coaching, it might not come out well. Whereas if I'm clear to her and saying, you know, why don't we just have a coaching session around this and see if we can come up with some answers, and, you know, and take it from there, I think we'll not meet resistance. And so that was really, really helpful for me, and I see it very hopeful for this afternoon.
Hmm. Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Nicole, how did that feel to you? For
I
you.
I was definitely really nervous at first.
Yes. If you're not, I would be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. And so once I took a few breaths, I was able to drop in a little bit. I got a little rattled with the story because I could feel myself really losing focus on all the different parties involved. So I tried to make it personal by asking for names just so I could actually visualize myself, who these people were, which gave me a little bit of a framework, like, okay, there's a guy, his name's Fernando, there's a woman, you know. And so all the pieces, I think, and which – I needed to clarify, and so I'm glad I clarified. And so I did feel a little bit rattled in the beginning, but once I got to clarify and hear, I could separate the situation from what she was trying to get to. And so that was kind of a big aha bit moment for me. And then because I also needed to clarify again, well, if she's not involved, then what is her role in all of this? And that's, I think, why I had asked that question, how will you know when you have met your objective? Because to me, I was still a little bit unclear of how she was going to be involved in this whole situation, which was a great question because then it led exactly to where she wanted to go, which was to figure out how she could be of support to her daughter. So yeah, once I hit that kind of aha moment, then it became really clear to me that I was going in the right direction, and then it felt good. It was like, oh, okay, we shifted the perspective now to what her objectives were, and then everything else kind of just fell out of it pretty easily. I didn't feel like I had to do that much effort. But there was that mountain climbing. I could see where it's similar to a yoga class where you start off grounding, you kind of do this up ramp until you hit inversions. And once you hit inversions, and then it's like this, oh, good, okay, we got there, we got to the peak pose, or we got to whatever the peak was of the class, and now it goes down. It's not downhill in a bad way, but downhill in a calm way, because that's the way I felt. It felt like a huge up ramp, and then they're like, oh, and then like, oh, okay, now we can calm down and rest a little bit and cool down. So it was interesting in that way, energetically.
Oh, my goodness. I love all of this. I love it. What a brilliant parallel to a yoga sequence and then coming down into the surrender series, right?
Yeah.
That's just awesome. Gosh, I have so much to say, so little time. Wow, that was just such a brilliant dance between the two of you. I loved that Olga came to the call with something that's going on in present time, something that's real, and we're willing and open to be coached around something that's very personal and intimate to you. And I especially love that you pulled in your willingness to wear a different hat with your daughter. Like, I wonder before this program you would have approached it if you hadn't been acquiring these skills. Now, I know that you have a coaching background, but now you're really tapping into, on a weekly basis, some tools to use in all areas of your life. So it's not something to be answered. It's just that came to my mind. So I love that you want to coach your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Way to get practice, you know. And it puts a whole different lens on the relationship and you removing yourself from your role of being a mom. And so I really, really hope that that works out, and I look forward to hearing how that works out. Nicole, just a beautiful way of stepping in. I think we all will be nervous in the beginning, but yeah, I could sense a little hesitation in the beginning because there are a lot of characters in there, and trying to separate and understand, and then having to mirror back to Olga. It was a bit lengthy on the background piece, and then as a result, it was a bit lengthy on the clarifying piece. But regardless of the length of time, you came to that place where you had a clear understanding, and you were able to mirror it back to Olga. So that was brilliant. I thought you did a great job of asking powerful questions, and as Jess said and Brandy reiterated, that one question, how would you recognize when you're in your coaching role? You know, that was a complete shift in perspective, and that for everyone is a huge indication of how these powerful questions can serve your clients, to get them thinking in different ways. Could you feel that energy shift when she asked that question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. And so just continuing that accustomed to learning how to use this language, this new, not a new skill set, but it's just a way of framing words that elicit a different conversation. And I've heard back from some of you that you're listening to your families in a different way. You're listening to your students and talking to your students in different ways. And that's a beautiful thing about this mentor coaching program, is it's going to show up in your life, in your relationships, in the work that you're doing in a powerful way. So you are actually being served on a myriad of levels here with this program. I thought that you got to all four. I saw four of the simple coaching model tools, which is just like crazy good in the first time. I mean, really. And what I wanted you to, what I wanted to share with you is there wasn't really a follow-up. There was a follow-up in terms of Olga's going to meet with her daughter, you know, in terms of the accountability piece. But the final piece is like, when can I check in with you to see that how it went? Or, you know, if you were able to have this discussion with your daughter, you definitely want to pinpoint a time. So typically our coaching sessions are weekly, and I always check in once a week with my clients. So maybe just simply, when's a good time? May I check in with you on Tuesday by email to see how it went? You see how that works?
Yeah.
So it's just the final piece to keep them in action. But, I loved it. I loved all of it. And I love the feedback points as well. You guys are really getting a solid grasp on this material. So we are at the end of our session together. Let's just go over the homework. And if I can find it, I'll be happy to share it with you. There we go. Okay. So please read, and it's on the syllabus, but I just like to say it out loud. Please read pages 7 through 12 and review pages 81. So we didn't quite get to those, but they were sort of weaved into our conversation in a different way today. And then in terms of the yoga supplement, please read pages 2, 3, and 4, the action challenge on page 4. So as always, just as I gave an example of checking in with your client once between sessions, I'm always available and accessible by email. If you have any questions that we didn't get to today, you know, you can hold it for next week, or if you want an immediate answer, just shoot me an email and we'll get back to you. Okay?
Yes.
Everybody good? All right, great work today. Always such a joy to be with you. Have a great week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.